Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Granick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful Wednesday, I believe it is. And it is beautiful. We all, you know, we give thanks for the rain, and there's going to be a lot of it coming through. We're honored to have in studio Dr. Alu Segun Shane. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Steve.
All right. I get a T-shirt because I pull that off. Surprises me like you wouldn't believe. And we're going to be talking, you know, for the last 6 months, I don't know if you know it, but I've become an expert on infectious diseases. All I've talked about is coronavirus, COVID-19. You know, we've had Dr. Larson on multiple times, and I feel like, you know, ask me about asymptomatic, whatever. I'm cool. Mm-hmm. But in so doing, we've lost sight of cardiovascular disease and cancer, too. And you're a cardiologist. Let me give everybody a little background. Dr. Alu Segun Shane is with Tanner Heart and Vascular Specialists in Canada. Carrollton, Villarica, and Bremen. He is trained in cardiovascular disease, echocardiography, cardiovascular CT, cardiac MRI, nuclear cardiology, and vascular interpretation. He applies leading-edge imaging technology to see problems that develop in and around the heart and provides expert advice and treatment to help heart stay healthy. He's graduated from the College of Medicine, University of Abidjan, in residency at Harlem Hospital Center and Fellowship, University of Ontario. And we want to talk about cardiovascular disease, but we also want to kind of narrow down and focus a little bit on congestive heart failure, because I'm not clear. In fact, I'm a little bit confused. It says on our fact sheet, as I mentioned, cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S., but congestive heart failure accounts for 20% of all cardiovascular disease and 1 in 9 deaths. And there are about 5.7 million Americans living with CHF today, and expected to grow to more than 8 million by 50%. So congestive heart failure, 50% of congestive heart failure patients are dead within 5 years. So heart attacks and congestive heart failure are not the same thing. Heart attack is a symptom. So what is congestive heart failure if it's 20% of cardiovascular disease?
Oh, thanks for that question, Steve. So rightfully so, cardiovascular disease is not congestive heart failure. So not all cardiovascular disease is congestive heart failure. But congestive heart failure is actually the final common pathway of many cardiovascular diseases. And as that fact sheet that you just read said, 20% of all cardiovascular disease is congestive heart failure. So pretty much cardiovascular disease is just disease of the heart and blood vessels. Now, there are so many of those diseases. Now, but eventually, when they progress and progress and progress, they might eventually lead to congestive heart failure, which is a condition in which the heart is unable to pump enough blood at a commensurate rate to meet the demands of the body tissues that need the oxygen and the nutrients that the heart carries, sorry, that blood carries to the organs. That's one. Is that the heart is having difficulty pumping blood to meet up with the demand, or there is a problem with the relaxation of the heart, because there are pretty much two cycles with every heartbeat. So there is a pumping phase, which we call systole, and then there's a relaxation phase, which we call that diastole. So the pumping phase, systole, and then after that, the heart relaxes to receive blood that is returning from the body. And then it pumps that the next time the heart beats. So problems in either of these phases can lead to congestive heart failure. So bottom line is just an issue of demand and supply. So the heart not being able to meet the demand of the body tissues.
Okay, so if 20% of cardiovascular disease is congestive heart failure, what it sounds like what I'm hearing is that it's more of the pumping process. The what are there? There are two or four chambers, or
yes, there are four chambers.
Four chambers. So it sounds like the chambers don't have it together anymore.
Pretty much.
Okay, so that leads to the 20%, and we're predicting 50% by the year 50% of congestive heart failure patients are going to be dead within 5 years. So let's I always like when we talk about disease, I always like to talk about causes.
Okay.
Because I think if you get the causes, you get to, you know, you kind of get a window of opening. So what are the causes, more specifically, of congestive heart failure?
Okay, so the leading cause of congestive heart failure in the Western world, and also rapidly becoming so in the whole world as a whole, is heart attacks. So people have heart attacks. It causes damage to the heart muscle, and then sometime later, it could be months, so it could be days, it could be months, it could be years. Sometimes later, they develop congestive heart failure. So the leading cause is heart attacks. Other causes include high blood pressure. So high blood pressure that has been going on for a long time, not properly controlled, not treated, or not recognized and treated, can eventually lead to congestive heart failure as well. Valve disease, because the heart, as we mentioned before, there are four chambers. Now, in between those chambers, the top chambers, bottom chambers of the heart, there are valves. And in between the bottom chambers of the heart, which we call ventricles, and the aorta or the pulmonary artery, there are valves as well. So if there are problems with the valves, it can lead to congestive heart failure. Lung disease, so the heart pumps blood to the lungs to get oxygen. So if there's problem in the lungs, it puts a strain on the heart, specifically the right side of the heart, and that can fail as well, cause congestive heart failure. Diabetes, which is increasing. The prevalence of diabetes is increasing in our country as well, and that's also leading to an increase. Thyroid disease. Arrhythmias. I know probably one or two of you might have heard of arrhythmias like atrial fib. That's one condition that can cause congestive heart failure as well. And we should not forget about toxic drugs. Some of it could be recreational. Things like cocaine, methamphetamine, they can cause, and alcohol. We should not forget alcohol. Alcohol can cause congestive heart failure by causing the heart muscles to become weak.
Okay, so it sounds like congestive heart failure then is a secondary or a progression of a disease process that's already started.
Yes, sir.
And that all these other contributing factors now lead us to that, and there are a multitude of them.
Yes, there are.
Which is a little bit scary.
Yeah.
Let's kind of, before we go to our first break, I'd like to just for a moment focus in on heart attack.
Okay.
Because you know you read and hear and different things about heart attacks. And if that's a causative factor, then how do we prevent heart attacks, and what do we do or what should we do when we have a heart attack? How do you recognize it? Give us a little expose on heart attacks.
Okay. So recognition, early recognition of heart attacks is key. There is this phrase we use a lot of times, we repeat over and over again, time is muscle. So the later you wait to go to get to seek care if you're having a heart attack, the higher the proportion or the percentage of the heart muscle that may suffer or die. Now, when one has a heart attack and is not treated promptly, the heart muscle supplied by that artery that causes the heart attack can become irreversibly damaged. Now, what exactly is this heart attack? Heart attack occurs when there is a sudden blockage of one or two arteries supplying the muscles of the heart. So I've said before about the function of the heart, pumping blood to the tissues of the body, but the heart itself is muscle. And also needs to receive nourishment too. Mm-hmm. So the heart has blood vessels, which are called coronary arteries, supplying blood to the heart muscle itself. And if those arteries get blocked by a blood clot, most of the time it's a blood clot, blocks it suddenly, then they don't receive oxygen or blood, and then that area goes away. So what are the symptoms to watch out for? The most classic symptom is chest pain. Now, this chest pain may not really be a pain per se. It might just be a discomfort, felt like a heaviness, like a pressure in the center of the chest most of the time. And it's some people describe it as burning, but most of the time what we hear is it's like pressure, like an elephant sitting on my chest. Some describe it as a squeezing pain. And then it may frequently travels to the left shoulder. It could go to the left jaw, the neck, and down the arm. In some instances, it actually goes down both arms as well. And people feel uncomfortable. So, like, most of the time, you know that something is not right. They feel uncomfortable. They may become sweaty. They may become nauseous. They may develop shortness of breath all of a sudden. You know, it's usually something that most times is recognized that something is not quite right. But unfortunately, there are some times that these classic symptoms I just described may not be felt. And this is more so in postmenopausal women. They may not have that pain. They might just feel shortness of breath starting all of a sudden. Now, the pain in question might be the first time someone is presenting with this, which makes it more scary. But there are some other people who've had angina for several years. So they've had this sort of pain coming up when they exert themselves, and when they rest, it goes away. So for those people, it's more easier to recognize, because then they will have an angina attack, which just is not going away, or it's not getting better when they take their nitroglycerin, which is a pill that helps to open the arteries up and relieve the pain. You know, so it's very important to recognize this and call for help.
Okay, after you're at home and you have these symptoms and these pains and you call 911, what should you do after you call 911 as you're waiting the paramedics to arrive?
Yeah, very good. So if you have aspirin at home, mm-hmm. Like baby aspirin, you can take two to four baby aspirins and chew it. Chew. So this will be chewed so that it can start working right away. And then if one has nitroglycerin pill at home, can take one of those nitroglycerin pills, put it under the tongue while waiting for the EMS. But it's very important to call for help, you know, before doing all of this thing. So first thing is, like, something is not right. Usually patients who have angina and they already have nitroglycerin at home, we advise them to take the nitroglycerin at least two times within 5 minutes, and if it's not getting better, they want to call for help, and then take the third pill while waiting for EMS to arrive.
I think I've heard that if you're having these symptoms and you think you're having a heart attack, that it's good to drink water. I haven't. I don't know. I can't remember.
I do not think that is particularly effective. Okay. Treating them. But one thing it can do sometimes, because chest discomfort could come from a variety of reasons. It's not only heart attacks that does that. It may be gas, it may be acid reflux. And generally, when you drink water like that, if it's coming from the stomach or the esophagus, it may relieve it. You know, but it shouldn't have any effect if it's a heart attack that one is having.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to be back with more with Dr. Alushe Gushane, and he's a cardiologist with Tanner Health System. I'm fascinated. You know, this is something that affects everybody. And you're welcome to call 678-601-TALK, 678-601-8255 if you have a question or comment, and we'll be back with more after this word from Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
A well-rounded education includes much more than just academics. At Oak Mountain Academy, we encourage our students to find their niche in any of our 42 co-curricular opportunities. Over the past 5 years, we have brought home 5 state and 20 regional athletic titles. Our one-act play and literary teams continuously compete at the region and state level, and our academic teams bring home first place more than not. We are warriors creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Got a fascinating show with Dr. Alushe Gushane, cardiologist with Tanner Health System, and we're talking about congestive heart failure. You can give us a call, 678-601-TALK, 678-601-8255. There's just so much here, and there's so much to cover. Let's let's talk for a moment about diagnostic tools. There's so many more diagnostic tools than have been in the past. And, you know, I think everybody's used to seeing an electrocardiogram. You know, you wire me up with like bazillion little leads and they're cold and you put this jelly whatever on you. But you've got a lot of tools. Let me, and I want to go through all of them, you know, more or less. But one thing I'm interested in, I've heard stories. Somebody's got cardiovascular disease and some of these other diagnostic tools may or may not show it. But boy, you put that person on for a stress test and then wham, bam, you know, you figured out that this person's 2 feet away from a heart attack. Explain that to me. And how should we, you know, our internal medicine or general practitioner says, oh, you're fine, you know, your heart sounds good, blah, blah, blah. But then we hear a story about somebody went for a stress test and they uncovered stuff otherwise. What's the right, from a patient's point of view, what's the right perspective on diagnostic tools for cardiovascular disease?
So as you alluded to, I would start by saying that the concept of symptom, cardiovascular symptom, you know, it varies from person to person. It's very relative. Now, most of the cardiovascular symptoms, they begin with exertion. So people, because it's a progressive disease, most of the time, cardiovascular disease is progressive. And as I said before, the final common pathway of like all the cardiovascular disease is congestive heart failure. The heart tries to compensate earlier on, and then eventually gets to a point of no return or a point where it gets overwhelmed, and then symptoms develop. Now, early on, the symptoms usually occur with exertion. So people are fine at rest, but then when they're exerting themselves, that's when they start to feel symptoms. That's frequently so. So someone can tell you, oh, you know, doctor, I'm fine. You know, occasionally I get this, but I don't know whether it's just because I'm getting older. Or people generally, they kind of slow down what they're doing. So they kind of listen to their body, like, okay, I can't do this as fast as I used to before. I will just slow down. And then they feel that they're fine. They go through it many months, many years, and they feel everything is fine. So when you do that EKG, electrocardiogram, where you put all those sticky leads and the electrodes, and you're doing it at rest, the person is resting. So you may not find anything. But the moment you put them on the treadmill, and you get them walking, then that compensation may be maybe thrown off, and then you can objectively observe what happens when they actually exercise. The other thing is, people may not be symptomatic when they're doing just mild things, but then if you increase that level of resistance or exertion, then the symptoms become unmasked, and then you can actually see what is going on. Or you can also see it on the EKG, something's going on. Now, I don't want to be too technical, but the arteries, the coronary arteries, for people to have symptoms at all, most of the time, they are 60 to 70% blocked or narrowed before you have symptoms, because the body tries to compensate. You know, so if there's a narrowing, what the body does is that distal, like further down the artery that is blocked or narrow, it opens up. It stretches out as much as possible to increase the blood flow. So when people are resting, they're fine. But when they start to exert themselves, they may start to have symptoms. Now, I'm talking specifically about coronary artery disease in this case, because this is an easy way to explain the other things. But the long and short of the whole thing is that the reason why we have these tools and we have been evolving these tools over the years is because we've known that the body has a very, very tremendous capacity to compensate. You know, and for us to pick disease conditions early, because that's the key. Early diagnosis is what we're seeking most of the time, because when you pick up the disease early, you're able to actually make a difference most of the time. If you're waiting too late, you know, the how do you say that? The horse may be already out of the barn. Is that how you say that? And then you might be playing catch up at that point.
You know. If someone's predisposed with hereditary or symptoms conditions, rather, that lead to cardiovascular disease, should a stress test then automatically be called for?
Not necessarily, not everyone. So it's on individual basis. We individualize these things. Now, the American College of Cardiology and American Heart Association, because of this same reason, over the years, they have revised the staging. They now come up with what we call stages of heart failure. We want to pick congestive heart failure early. So we're having stage C. What the stage where patients actually come, they have symptoms, is stage C. There is stage A and stage B. So stage A is when people do not have any problems with their heart yet, but they have some predisposition to developing, as you said. So those people, you want to monitor them and then mm-hmm. have them do lifestyle changes, which we're going to talk about shortly. Mm-hmm. And then you want to make sure you are doing that serially to catch, if at all they're going to develop cardiovascular disease, you want to catch it early. And then you also want to start putting them on treatment that will prevent progression into congestive heart failure. So that's where we're focusing on now, because we know that congestive heart failure is a very, very, as we said earlier, is a very fatal disease. Like 50%, mm-hmm. half yes. are dead in 5 years.
Yes.
In fact, there are many cancers that are not even that severe anymore.
Yeah.
You know, half dead in 5 years. And then it's very expensive too. It's yeah. costing the taxpayers and yes. the country a lot of money. So we're trying to catch these things early. So that's the thing. So it's important to know, like, people who are predisposed, we need to take action early on.
Before we take our next break, and we'll come back and talk about preventative and lifestyle changes. But let me ask you, still on diagnostics, it would seem like a lot over the last several decades, a lot of evolution in terms of diagnostic. Mm-hmm. So what role, and I don't know the proper term for it, but what role does the MRI have now in this?
Okay. Well, cardiac MRI is a very powerful tool in this diagnosis. It can tell us, we can actually look at the structure of the heart. We can look at it, get more definitive definition of what the heart looks like, superior to echocardiogram, which has been the gold standard for several years. So we can see the structure, we can see the function of the heart. And then if someone has had a heart attack before, if we do a cardiac MRI, we can see it as well. If they have myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart muscle, we can see it. So before now, when we do a test, echocardiogram will just tell us, okay, is the heart pumping okay? Is it pumping good or not? Are the valves okay or not? We may not necessarily know why the heart is failing. Sometimes we may not really know. We might have an idea, but we don't know why it's failing. But with the MRI, we can make a diagnosis. We can also figure out why. Why is the heart failing? Because what is more important is actually why. The reason for the congestive heart failure, because that's what you want to treat to hope to reverse or improve or delay progression of the condition.
All right. Our guest this morning is Dr. Lou Shea Gushain, a cardiologist with Tanner Health System, and we're getting a real education on cardiovascular disease and congestive heart failure. But what's coming up, you may have heard before, but we're going to have to talk about it. Exercise, nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. Got to quit that smoking, put it down. All those good things coming up. You can give us a call, 678-601-TALK. We'll be back with more after this.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
As a graduate of Oak Mountain Academy, I've found that my experience on the mountain prepared me beyond all expectations. As a junior at Auburn University, I approached my studies with great confidence thanks to what I learned at OMA. When I think back on my time on the mountain, I think of my teachers. Their genuine love and concern for me as a student was always evident. And now, as an adult, I still foster those relationships. I'm Carly Robinson, an Oak Mountain Academy alum. Visit oakmountain.us to see how you can offer your child an amazing opportunity to be a warrior.
do a quick. We may do a quick. Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gradick, your host. Dr. Luke Shea Gushane is our guest this morning. We're learning a lot about cardiovascular disease and congestive heart failure. Real quick, because I definitely want to get into nutrition and exercise. Coronavirus, COVID-19, that's been like, we all been inundated with it. What relationship, if any, for cardiovascular disease and COVID should we be aware of?
Yeah. That's a very, very good question. So COVID-19 has been shown, we're still learning more about this disease like every day. But COVID-19 can affect the heart in several ways. It can directly affect the heart muscle and cause an inflammation called myocarditis. So we can, if that happens, the heart muscle gets swollen, gets weak, inflamed. Now, when that happens, the heart may become irritable. There may be arrhythmias that could be sometimes fatal. Again, the heart might not pump well because of that myocarditis. So that is one condition that we want to recognize early. Now, as of now, the treatment for that, there isn't specific treatment for that inflammation on the heart just yet, but it's just... we just need to focus on treating the disease, treating the COVID-19 more aggressively. So those are the patients that you want to treat as aggressively as possible, yeah, because the prognosis may be poor when the heart muscle is affected. So that's one way. The other way is that the overall inflammation that is occurring all over the body, which we call sepsis, a condition where the infection just kind of overwhelms the entire body and all that. When that happens as well, the heart has a lot more work to do because the heart has to pump blood to feed all these tissues that are revving up. It's like it's just like you have your foot on the gas throttle, like maybe a Ferrari, and then you're revving it all the way. So all the body tissues are working at a very high level. The metabolism of the heart tissue is very high, so the heart is going to have trouble keeping up. So that by itself can also affect the heart and cause congestive heart failure in these people. And people who have coronary artery disease to begin with may also struggle in this at these times, because then they may have heart attacks, because again the heart is working hard to supply blood, and because the heart is working so hard, heart attacks can occur as well. So those are just a few of the myriad of ways in which COVID-19 can affect the heart. And we want to recognize it early.
I'm going to go out and buy a battery for this clock. So we're going to try to go a little bit long, because there's several things I want to cover. But before we get to the lifestyle changes, if someone wants to contact you, if you're taking new patients, and I understand you have a seminar coming up, tell us about how to get in touch with you.
Right. So we have a website, tanner.org. You can go there and click on the link for the heart care or heart team, and there is a link for information on referrals, how to get referrals into the heart and vascular. And besides, you don't need to get a referral from a primary care doctor to come and see us. Yeah, you can call the number that is there. People who have MyChart, which is a tool, for patients who've been to Tanner before, you can request appointments even on MyChart. And then one member of our team in the office can contact to set this up. And we are taking same day appointments. We're taking new patients, and we're always open. We would like to see you. Now, on October 29, I'm going to be giving a class on congestive heart failure. It's because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Usually, we have this like in person, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic that's still going on right now, we're going to be doing it virtually. And information on how to connect with me on October 29, I think it's going to happen. It's at 6:30 p.m. It's usually an hour class, and it's very interactive. It's going to be on Microsoft Teams, and information on that will be disseminated shortly.
We'll try to have you back before that to promote that. And we're going to need to wrap it up. So I'm going to leave it with this question. You know, there's some people in the world who are like pretend doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know necessarily that I'm one of them. But one thing I like to preach when it comes to overall good health, particularly as we get older, mm-hmm. is controlling weight, losing weight. What impact on proper weight control does proper weight control have on cardiovascular disease and congestive heart failure?
A huge impact, Steve. A very huge impact. Now, a lot of things go into losing weight and maintaining ideal weight. A lot goes into it. So it's a concerted effort, diet, exercise, having the right mindset, but it goes a long way. Now, studies have shown over and over again that maintaining an ideal weight or losing weight and maintaining normal ideal weight is positively correlated with, you know, longevity, good heart health. And so you can't emphasize it more than enough. Now, to be able to maintain an ideal weight or to lose weight, you need to focus on diet, exercise. Now, the diet, as we grow older, particularly once you hit age 40, you know, you want to decrease caloric intake as much as possible because our metabolism slows down. So carbs in the diet, you know, you cannot be eating, chugging up carbs like you did when you were 12 years old or 14 years old. So we need to pay attention to that. So we need to eat more fruits and vegetables. Mediterranean type diet is probably the best if we can actually achieve that. And then exercise is so, so key. Regular aerobic exercise. And you don't always have to go to the gym. It's not until you go to the gym that you're getting exercise. Just get a routine schedule, something that you enjoy doing. We want this to become a lifestyle, not a chore. So it has to be something you enjoy doing and do it on the regular.
And okay. That's very good. And again, our gratitude to Dr. Lou Sheikh Gushane. We're going to have him back prior to the webinar on October 29th. You can find out more by going to tanner.org. This is a fascinating subject, and if cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S., we need to give it that priority.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, for coming in, and we applaud all that you do and all that's done at Tanner. And we thank you for listening. Go out and make it a great rainy day, and you're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.